Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Synlait Milk full year results call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question via the phones, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Synlait Milk. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Synlait's full year results conference call. It's great to have so many of you on today's call and a real pleasure to introduce you formally to our new CEO, Richard Wyeth, who joined Synlait earlier this year in May. He's joined, of course, today on the call by our CFO, Andy Liu, who many of you will now know. Richard and Andy will speak today to our investor presentation released this morning, and then we'll open the line for Q&A. Just a reminder, if you can keep your questions to two per person, and we'll follow up with you later today as required. Richard, over to you.
Thanks, Hannah. Good morning to you all. Thank you for joining us on Synlait's full year 2025 results call. To indulge some sporting analogy, FY25 was a year of two halves with Synlait. We won the first half and celebrated a return to profitability. However, the second half was challenging on a number of fronts, and the impact of those will be clear in today's presentation. Andy and I will go over those in detail throughout the presentation, but before that, we have some good news. If you please turn to slide two. We have entered into a binding conditional agreement to sell our North Island assets to our valued customer and global healthcare leader, Abbott. These consist primarily of our Pokeno factory and two Auckland sites in the blending and canning facility at Richard Pearce Drive and Jerry Green, which is the warehouse. The sale price of the transaction is $178 million US, which equates to approximately $307 million. Abbott has confirmed it will onboard most of the people who work in these sites, which is a fantastic outcome for both our people and also for the local community. The targeted completion date for the transaction is 1 April 2026, and the sale will be subject to various conditions, including Synlait obtaining shareholder approval and Abbott receiving consent under the Overseas Investment Act 2005 and normal consents such as regulatory consents from the likes of MPI. We released a notice of meeting with detailed information on the sale to inform shareholders before they vote on the transaction at Synlait's annual meeting on 21 November 2025. And also note, Bright Dairy, our major shareholder, has confirmed it will vote in favour of the transaction, so the requirement for shareholder approval will be achieved. This is a real step forward for Synlait. The proceeds of this sale will be used to pay down debt. Will mean that by the end of FY26, we are largely debt-free with the exception of working capital facilities. In short, the sale will deliver a stronger, simpler and more secure Synlait. We will have greater space to focus on our South Island operations and the ability to carefully and strategically review our strategy for Dunsandel. The goal is to release an updated strategy at our half-year result in March 2026. But in the meantime, we're certainly very excited, and this is an outstanding win for both Synlait and Abbott. Moving on to slide three. I've now been in the business for just over 4 months as CEO of Synlait. I was attracted to this role due to the company's strategic strengths. It has world-class assets and its foundations are strong. Dunsandel is located in the heart of Canterbury's dairy sector with good connectivity to global markets and the ability to produce goods at scale. The company also enjoys strong demand from our global customers. We've now spent a short amount of time in the business, I've identified three immediate needs that we need to focus on. First and foremost, we need to improve our operational stability at Dunsandel so we can consistently deliver for our customers. I'll talk to you more about that in a moment. Secondly, we need to reduce complexity to deliver a financial uplift. The North Island transactions will assist with that. And finally, there is a need to reset a high-performing culture within the business. Synlait is filled with some great people who have been through a huge amount of challenges over the last few years. My observation coming into the business is that it's a very much a culture of reactivity driven some of those challenges. I want to reset the business so we can really focus on proactive performance. To that end, our focus for FY26 will be very much targeted on operational stability. To assist with that, we are recruiting and onboarding a new Canterbury-based Chief Operating Officer who will be responsible for delivering a raft of improvements in that area. and also ensuring that we can deliver the North Island transaction by 1 April 2026. We're also embedding our values framework, the Synlay spirit, in the short term to allow us to improve our culture. Moving on to that focus into slide four, you will see focus areas internally that have been dubbed the Big Six for 26. Top of that list is operational stability. That should come as no surprise to many of you. As we announced to the market in July, Synlay has had manufacturing challenges earlier this year. The impact of those is clear in today's result, with one-off costs totaling $43.5 million. While the manufacturing challenges are largely behind us, operational stability must remain a core focus alongside quality performance and customer satisfaction. And to those who focus on financial resilience, it was great to see the banking facility come through last week. And include the North Island sale, then strengthening our financial performance is largely complete. We now need to deliver on culture, operational stability and quality, and that will lead to strong overall financial performance. We'll move through now to slide five to look at our results at a glance. We are reporting total group EBITDA of $50.7 million today, which is an increase of $54.8 million on FY24. Our bottom line is a net loss after tax of $39.8 million, which is an improvement of 78% year on year. As mentioned, this reflects costs associated with challenges at Dunsandel. Our adjusted bottom line is a net profit after tax of $0.8 million, which shows you Synlay's recovery was on track. Pleasingly, Synlay's debt level has decreased by 55% during FY25. Of course, most of this was courtesy of the last October's equity raise, but an uplift in our trading performance has added to that, with net debt now down at $250.7 million. As mentioned, the proceeds from the North Island transaction will largely clear this. Group revenue increased to a record $1.8 billion, or 12%. Operating cash flow is up 451% to $165.5 million, and gross profit increased to $105.3 million. I'm delighted to confirm that our final milk price for the 2024-2025 season is a record $10.16 per kilo of milk solids. Add to that Synlay's incentive program, which averages out to 30 cents per kilo of milk solids, and our secured milk premium of 20 cents per kilo of milk solids for our South Island farmers, and you can see that our Synlay suppliers will be very happy. Our average milk price or payment to South Island farmers will sit 50 cents above the farm gate milk price. That should result, as I said, in some very good Christmas presents for many of our farming staff. I will now hand over to Andy Liu, our CFO, who will take you through some more detail on the financials.
Thanks, Richard. Good morning, everyone. Let me take you both through Synlay's financial results for the year 25. This year's result shows a very strong improvement and a fresh sense of progress across our main business areas, even though we face some manufacturing challenges at Dunsandel. Let me begin by outlining the key highlights on slide 7. The advanced nutrition segments experienced robust customer demand and demonstrated strong growth in new product development. This success translated into a $21.1 million increase in underlying gross profit, underscoring the strength of our customer relations and our ability to innovate and bring new products to market. Our ingredients business achieved a notable turnaround from FY24, recording a $26.6 million improvement. This was driven by effective foreign exchange management and a strategic shift to value over volume. Although green return did not always favor our current product mix, our enhanced risk management approach proved beneficial. The consumer and food service segment achieved a $9.3 million increase in a gross margin. This was largely attributed to the outstanding performance of Dairy Works and ongoing growth in our UHT cream portfolio in existing and new markets. We successfully reduced SG&A costs through disciplined cost control measures and a strong focus on eliminating wastage. Financing costs also reduced significantly, supported by better cash flow management and the recovery in trading performance. On to slide 8. In FY25, Synlait's total revenue increased 12% to 1.8 billion after a flat FY24. Growth was broad-based. Advanced Nutrition up 8% on high volumes and a new Nutra-based powder successfully launched in Southeast Asia. Ingredients revenue increased by 7% on pricing and favorable foreign exchange. Our consumer-based business unit reported a 12% revenue increase, with growth in export markets helping to offset ongoing pressures in the domestic market. Revenue and volume from food service, driven by UHT cream, almost doubled compared to the prior year, with growth extending into Asia and the Pacific. Underlying gross profit increased to 142.5 million due to disciplined execution and strategic improvements company-wide. On slide 9, you can see that our focus on operation efficiency and working capital management has resulted in a remarkable recovery in cash flows. Our operating cash flows increased by $213 million, reflecting improved trading performance and optimized working capital management. CapEx investment remains at low level, a further 23% reduction compared with prior year, with a focus on business continuity, growth initiatives, and regulatory compliance, as well as strategic digitalization, AI, cybersecurity to manage risk and opportunities. Net debt decreased by $300.9 million, or 55%, due to capital injection and improved cash flow performance. Financing costs contributed $48 million to net debt. That is a $7 million improvement on FY24. These costs are expected to reduce further in FY26 with the completion of our refinancing. Our balance sheet is much stronger, and we are targeting a net senior leverage ratio below 2.5 times in FY26. In summary, Synlait's FY25 results reflect the company regaining its strength, simplifying its operations, and establishing a platform for sustainable and profitable growth. The sale of North Island assets marks an improved turning point, significantly strengthening our balance sheet by reducing net debt, improving leverage ratios, and restoring our credit worthiness. With a streamlined business model and a solid financial foundation, Synlait is well positioned to invest in strategic growth, pursue new opportunities, and deliver sustainable value to our shareholders. Financially, Synlait is now equipped to support and execute a new future strategy with confidence and resilience. Thank you. I will hand you back to Richard now.
Thanks, Andy. We'll now go through an update on each of our business units. If you turn to slide 11, firstly, Advanced Nutrition. So for FY24, we saw an overall uplift in volumes due to strong customer demand. Our achievements for that year include an expansion of our customer base. We also had a new record in lactoferrin sales volumes, which were up 12 metric tonnes. And we also had the successful launch of our Nutra-based powders, which has secured multiple customers in Southeast Asia. Our focus going forward for this financial year will include working with the A2 Milk Company to support growth in China, further expanding the Nutra-based range, and looking to deepen relationships with our ingredients customers so they're more aware of our advanced nutrition capability, and exploring new sales channels and value-add products to uplift returns on lactoferrin. So that's Advanced Nutrition. Moving through to slide 14 and the ingredients business. To those who know the Synlait story, you will recall we strategically moved away from fresh milk processing at the North Island assets last year. This obviously impacted our ingredients overall volume, which decreased to 108,000 metric tonnes. However, offsetting that was improved premiums over the last 12 months, which was an outstanding achievement, and obviously we had increased revenue due to strong ingredient pricing. We also saw progress in customer and market diversification with expansion into the Middle East. Looking ahead, our focus areas for ingredients will be further uplifting the premiums we achieved last year, continued expansion of our ingredients portfolio and amplifying market awareness of our high level of quality and consistency. Moving now to slide 13, you will see an overview of our food service business performance. This is UHT cream, obviously a very popular product, certainly in China. For FY25, it saw us successfully launch our second generation cream, which has further increased product stability in market. To deliver record volume last year of 8.41 litre bottles manufactured at our Dunsandel site, every single one of these was sold. We had demand remains exceptionally strong for this product in multiple global markets, and our focus will be to continue to grow that into next year. We're looking to grow margins, although that has been challenging. The real unlocker for our food service business is to continue to drive volume, and it's really pleasing to see we've picked up a new distributor which is sending product into Fiji, and we're working more broadly to increase that volume overall for that food service business. Moving on to slide 14, the consumer business. FY25 was another outstanding year for Dairyworks, which drives our consumer business. I would just like to acknowledge Tim, who is the CEO of that business, who was acting CEO of Synlait, and also Aaron, who stepped into his shoes for a period of time. They've done an outstanding job once again for FY25. The solid performance was driven by offshore markets with softer growth in New Zealand due to, obviously, cost of living pressures and increased milk prices. Overall gross profit for our consumer business was $39 million, up from $30.6 million in the prior year. And offshore, Dairyworks saw a 53% growth in cheese export volumes, with a lot of success across the Tasman. Dairyworks is now the fastest growing cheese brand in Woolworths Australia. The Alpine brand was also launched in food service there, and both Alpine and Dairyworks products ranges are now in Costco Australia. The focus for FY26 is to continue delivering value and new product lines to domestic companies and further growing our export volumes. So a real standout for this year. Moving now to slide 15, which is milk supply. As I mentioned earlier, today we have confirmed a record milk price, which is significantly up on the season's opening forecast. This should deliver some very happy farmers which has been an important focus for Synlait across FY25. Earlier in the year, our on-farm team did an excellent job of securing our milk supply for the current season after working to encourage farmers to withdraw their cease and onboarding 11 new farms. This was helped by additional secured milk premiums along with new guarantees around the milk price at advance rates. We will continue to focus on finding new ways to add value on-farm. One of the focus areas will be improving our digital offering and continuing to support our on-farm through Whakapuawai program, which helps riparian planting on-farm. We'll also look to launch our fixed milk price offering in FY26. Now, on to slide 16. FY26 presents a valuable reset for Synlait, as you well know. As we've already said, the sale of our North Island assets will strengthen Synlait's financial position considerably, with the proceeds used to significantly reduce debt. Given the scale of the strategic reset, we will not provide further financial guidance for FY26. Our focus is on executing the North Island sale and building a simpler and more focused Synlait in Canterbury. We are committed to making the most of this opportunity and aim to have an updated strategic plan in place by March 2026. So moving through to slide 17, key takeaways from today. Therefore, as noted, the sale of our North Island assets will see Synlait become a stronger, simpler and more secure business. Financially, we will deliver a full and final balance sheet reset, ending the company's survival phase. And strategically, it simplifies our focus and opens the door for us to explore new opportunities here at Dunsandel. Andy and I will now take questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Sean Su with CLSA. Please go ahead.
Sorry. My first one is around your manufacturing challenge in our central facility. It seems to be a reoccurring issue now. I'm just very interested to know what specific process improvement can be prioritized in FY26 to prevent this kind of operational disruption going forward? Thank you.
Sorry, I just didn't quite hear the second part of the question.
Prioritise this in FY26 to prevent this happening going forward.
Yeah, so I know, I appreciate there has been a number of manufacturing challenges for a period of time, and certainly coming in and being relatively new to the business, it is a focus for me. So as I mentioned, for our big six for 26, that focus on operational stability is key. What I can say is that there are a number of one-off issues and we just need to work through those systematically, root cause analysis, and fix those issues. I'm now comfortable with we're largely through that, but as I say, the next 6 months is very important for us.
Thank you. My second question is around A2, the China label digital production. My understanding is that require a new registration renew in calendar year 2027. I know that might be an early stage, but if I remember the last time registration with SAMA takes a long time. I'm just curious to know if your team can give us some indication on the timeline of when to start prep for this process. Thank you.
Yeah, so we've already started that process. You're quite right, FY27 is key. And so we've been working on that already for a fairly long period of time. There's a bit of capital required going forward, and we're working with both A2 and SAMA quite closely to make sure we're ready for that.
Thank you. If I might just quick check in a very quick question, last one. With Bright being your largest shareholder, I'm just curious to know, is there any book collaboration you can leverage their connection distribution channel in China to expand your market there?
Yes, with Bright are obviously a very supportive shareholder of us, and we are working with them, and I think there's good opportunities. I mean, we've got a very strong working relationship with Bright, so I think as part of our strategy reset, we'll certainly be looking at what opportunities we have to work with Bright.
Cool. Thank you for the update. Appreciate that.
Your next question comes from Stephen Ridgewell with Craigs Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and first of all, congratulations on the sale of Pokeno. That's a big win for shareholders. With that and the equity raise a year ago, you know, two of the big three challenges that have been facing Synlait have been overcome. So well done on progress. My first question is on the use of proceeds from the North Island asset sales, and it could either be for management or potentially for the chair. You know, if you use the proceeds, $370 million proceeds to pay back debt, you know, Synlait could be in a position where it's got $74 million thereabouts of debt on the balance sheet. But the comments today also talk to the proceeds providing an opportunity to strategically diversify. And I realise it's an early stage, but I'm just interested in the early thoughts the company has on the extent to which those proceeds will be used to pay down debt, and the extent to which Synlait thinks it's got capacity to make acquisitions or other growth investments that may be more organic. And then related question is, you know, post the sale proceeds, will the company aim to operate a lower net debt EBITDA ratio than the 2.5 times kind of flat today? Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take probably the first part, and Andy may chip in on that. So certainly, initially, we'd look to obviously pay down as much debt as sensible. In terms of the longer term, that'll be clearer through the strategic review that we can update in March. And just, I guess, my final comments, personal perspective, which I'll share with the board, is that, I mean, I'd like to see our debt-to-debt equity ratio sitting at about 20 to 25%. I think that's prudent. We're seeing that as a good balance. When it gets to 45, 50, it doesn't really work. So that would be my intention going forward. Andy, do you want to add anything further?
No, as I said, actually, that for our refinancing, we just finished it last Friday. That's why I still think it's too early stages just to talk about regarding when we get the funds, what we will do. But as Richard already mentioned, yes, principally different than to just reduce our debt in order to just to keep it at the very reasonable levels and also seeking for the opportunities. So this is the key point. And Stephen, just to try to make sure, what's your second question regarding the debt to EBITDA level?
Just whether the company would look to operate at a lower net debt to EBITDA ratio lower than 2.5 times going forward. In particular, if we kind of look through A2 Milk's English label volumes migrating, to their Pokeno site in the next year or two.
Yeah, and let's say that for the moment, we still think that 2.5 times is still the reasonable one. That's why that we don't think that will change for the moment.
Okay, if you keep it at 2.5 times, it does suggest potentially quite a lot of firepower for acquisitions. But as you say, maybe we need to wait a bit longer to see where we land there. I guess as well, just on the in terms of the impact of the asset sales, we can see the proceeds, $307 million, coming through, which is great. But can you give us a – can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, great. Can you just give us a sense of the kind of the EBITDA being generated from those assets in the, if you like, on a normalised basis in the year just gone? Is it, my understanding was Pokeno was kind of burning $35 million a year at the EBITDA level. But just you give a rough steer as to the EBITDA loss that those assets generated in the year just gone.
Yeah, so I can quickly jump to this question. So based on our FY25 numbers that let's say that once we get rid of the North Island, we are thinking about 5 to 10 million kind of the EBITDA to be improved, because definitely the FY25 that the plant is more filled, have more demand. That's why the level is not as high as that what we said before. So 5 to 10 million, the EBITDA impact.
Okay, no, that's helpful, thank you. And then just one last one from me, just on the impact of A2 Milk's planned migration of English label volume, from Dunsandel to its soon to be acquired Pokeno plant. Can you give us a rough estimate of the EBITDA impact that Synlait's kind of planning for? Is it reasonable simply to take the gross margin per ton? By the volume, or are there other things to consider? For example, is there cost out the company can action, or other factors such as the diseconomies of scale at lower production volumes for formula? Because I think that is obviously a key issue as the market kind of looks into the FY27 and beyond time period. I mean, some thoughts on that would be quite helpful. How you what the impact is, and then the mitigation factors, the ways that you can mitigate that impact.
Yeah, so Stephen, sorry, that's because these kind of numbers can be really very commercial sensitivity. So, can't answer that very directly.
Okay, well, I guess just there's an opportunity to make some comments, because I guess analysts will have to take a view, in their own numbers.
Maybe let me take it offline and just think about which kind of information we can provide it. Yeah, leave it with me.
Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Your next question comes from Adrian Albon with Jarden. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Sam. Maybe just a follow-on from Stephen's question. What 4 months into the job, Richard, what sort of cost opportunity do you kind of see in the Dunsandel asset going forward, initially and, as you sort of deal with the transition of acres and roots like one?
Sorry, Adrian, it's just a bit hard to hear. Can you have another go at that, please?
Sure, is that better?
Yeah, it's a little bit better, yeah.
I was just, as a follow-on to Stephen's question, I was just wondering what the cost-out opportunity...
Is that better?
Yeah, that's great, yeah.
Just as a follow-on to Stephen's question, I was just wondering what the opportunity you see for cost out at Dunsandel actually is.
Yeah, look, I think, as I say, when we reset the business with a focus just on Dunsandel, there will be some opportunity, and that's, again, too early to get into the specifics, unfortunately, but certainly we'll be able to provide more of an update at the March announcement.
Okay, would it be useful as a starting point for us to kind of look to sort of FY18 as some sort of benchmark?
Andy, I don't know whether you want to comment on that. I haven't got FY18 numbers in my head at the moment. So
yeah, so Andrew, that's regarding FY18. It's really fun times ago. So what I can propose is that let me work out some numbers and try to provide you some, let's say, some reasonable figures. For example, based on FY25, we said we are saving about 10 million, just with still including the North Island. That's why we think about definitely the number should be higher than 10 million. But let me just work out some numbers, come back to you regarding how you can simulate it.
Yeah,
focus on that.
Yeah, what I can say in terms of, I'm not sure what year to look back, but what I do know, given I've only been in the business a short time, is what happened sort of even 2 or 3, 4 years ago in terms of throughput on the dryers at Dunsandel was that we won't get as much throughput. So as we're focused on higher quality, it means we have to derate the dryers somewhat. Now, in terms of the specifics, I haven't got those in front of me today, but it does mean we can't just go look at the past as a precursor to the future necessarily, because the standards have improved and China's requirements continue to improve, and all of those things mean we have to, it does take some capacity out. Not a lot, but it does take some capacity out of the dryers and kind of thing.
Okay, just related to that, and can you kind of go with a steer on what your sort of milk pool, or what your contracted milk pool is for next year?
We're circa 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I guess, like in a broad question, like are you actually expecting like EBITDA to be higher this year? And I'm presuming that the net debt is probably going to go higher as well, because you've got all these premium payments to farmers coming up shortly.
Andy?
So let's say for this year, compared with FY25, yes, you are right that we will pay some additional incentive to the farmers. It can be some challenge for the EBITDA. But as said, regarding the FY26, that we are more focused on selling the North Island, we will try our best, firstly, to focus on production stability. And that's why that we didn't share any kind of our targets for the moment.
Just if you assume that the North Island business was in the numbers, which is probably what most of us are going to have to do, like, would you expect the net debt to be higher this year, like given your farmer incentive payments are due?
I should say about the similar level than this year, because yes, farmers payment, but also do remember we have the EBITDA to generate the cash, so that's why I do think the net debt should be, let's say, a bit better than this year, theoretically. Including
okay.
Time.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Matt Montgomery with Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, good morning. Maybe just start on manufacturing issues, Richard. I suspect it's unlikely you'll provide detail on what they were, but there's sort of a footnote around them being largely resolved. It'd be interesting if you could just maybe talk to that, what largely means, what you need to see to get them resolved, and yeah, just any further colour, I guess, to give us confidence that you know, they have been isolated to the period that you've outlined previously.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Good question. That was my fault. You know, look, I said that to Hannah, look, the nature of these businesses is that they're very complex, right? Making advanced nutrition, for example, you've got ingredients from 10 to 40 different ingredients. You've got complex processing. So I'm relatively conservative by nature. So I said largely because while the issues we had from January to July are largely behind us, to say they've gone forever is you just can't do that. And look, in terms of the nature of those things, they're a combination. You know, we've got people, process, systems, engineering, there's a whole raft of things that can go wrong. A rotary valve can be put in some, you know, it might be an ingredient issue or a supply incorrectly. So there's so many things that can go wrong in making this advanced nutrition. So the issues we've had in the first half of the calendar year are largely behind us, but that's why I'm tuning up the focus on operational stability going forward. So I am very comfortable with the issues we had in the first half of the year. We have largely dealt with all of those, but you just never know what can be around the corner. So the way you deal with that in a processing operation like we are is you have very good systems, processes, and you have well-trained people. So that is the area that I'm focused on at the moment.
Awesome. That's very clear. Just on Dairyworks, I think EBITDA of around 23, you know, clearly it's been a good business, you know, over the last, you know, 5-6 years since you've owned it. And I think from memory at the time, I think the target was around 20 of EBITDA. So, yeah, maybe just from you, Richard, how you think about that business going forward, maybe anything where you see it, say, 3 to 5 years from an earnings point of view.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Andy might be able to put some numbers around it. In a general comment, I'd say I think it's got massive opportunity. I think the team there are fantastic. Tim and his leadership team have done a great job. So I think there's a real opportunity. The thing about that business is that you can just continue to scale it up. You know, there's no sort of restrictions on growth, and I think that's what's exciting. They can procure a product, they can add value to it, and they can put it into different markets. So I've got good market share in New Zealand. They're now targeting Australia, and I'd like to get into look even beyond that. So that's sort of my general comment in terms of the numbers around that, Andy. I don't know if you've got any more flavour to add to that.
Yeah, so let's say for FY25, our revenue for the Dairyworks is about 12% increase, but gross profit is about 28%. So it's a really show that other than the volume growth, it's also internally, let's say, from the focusing always their strength for the efficiency, productivity also supported these numbers. That's why we still said this is a very good business that's in a good trend and also expected to have a further growth.
And Margo, one more, just a small one. Andy, the depreciation associated with the North Island assets, like what's the EBIT drag?
Sorry, can you repeat your question? What do you mean the EBIT drag?
So just following up from Stephen's question, what's the D&A sitting over the North Island assets in FY25?
It's around about $1 million per month.
Thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Nick Ma with Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Morning. Could you just talk through the net debt number? I think the trading update right at the end of your financial year, you were sort of guiding towards 300 and you came in at 250. How did that change so much?
Yeah, sure. That I can just take this question. So what has changed is mostly because of we have the higher customer demand, and the customer demand also triggers some additional deposits. So this is how it comes. Regarding one of the reasons, another reason is that, as you know, that Nick, we also have the receivable assignment. So end of the month, there is some kind of additional kind of deliveries, which we get the receivable assignment earlier. That's why this is mostly the two kind of the main driven for the 15 million just reduced. Yeah, better.
Okay, that is good. And in terms of what you're selling with the North Island divestment, sort of you mentioned the kind of lease warehouse as well. Does that sort of line up to what the North Island CGU was when it was impaired at the end of FY24, just trying to work out the price relative to the holding value, and also do you have any sort of breakdown of the value by sort of PP&E versus net working capital?
Yes, so to answer your question, yes, it's roughly the same regarding our CGU for North Island last year when we share the numbers. So what I can propose you is that you can take the last year and you report the numbers. This can be the baseline regarding the CGU, the net asset value for the moment.
Yeah, and the sort of mix between sort of PP&E and networking capital.
So working capital one, that because here what we said is regarding the total 178 million is 170 million for the PPE and 8 million for the working capital, let's say just inventory.
That's great. Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Richard Wyeth for closing remarks.
Right, thanks everyone for joining the call today. I look forward to meeting with many of you over the coming days. And in the meantime, if you've got any questions, you can just follow those up with Hannah. And that concludes our call for today.
Thank you. That concludes the conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.